It's good to be here again. Glad to see a lot of folks out there today. I hope that when you looked at the title of today's sermon that you weren't a little depressed, because I know this last week has been nothing but full of rain, and how I could come up with a title that says we need rain, you know, maybe something you're questioning. But as you'll see as we go through this half hour, 45 minutes, you'll get an idea of the rain that I'm talking about. And the latter rain is coming. Joel says in 2:23, says, "Be glad, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord. He hath given you a former rain moderately, and he will cause the latter rain to come down in great abundance." We look forward to that. And it's going to fall upon our children. Theologically, of course, the latter rain, according to Joel chapter 2, and if you want to, you can open your Bibles right now to Joel. I'll give you an opportunity to get there. Chapter 2. And I'd like to look at verse 28. Well, let me read. And it says, "It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Also upon the servants and handmaids, to those days will I pour out my spirit." Last day, men and women are going to be filled with the Spirit of God. And a great harvest is coming before the day of the Lord. And if we go further down in verse 31, it says, it'll be just in the last day. Now, just before the Lord comes is when the latter rain will fall. And the world needs a latter rain of the Holy Spirit. We need it here in Tullahoma. In Acts chapter 17, verse 6, when the disciples received the former rain, which was at Pentecost, they turned the world upside down. And I think again that the world needs to be turned upside down. So we need to look for this power. And a tremendous power is coming. So the critical question is, when does the latter rain fall? Well, we read there in Joel that it happens in the last days. We know that. I was reading in the first volume of Selected Messages, and it said that the loud cry, which is empowered by the louder rain, already started in 1888. But then I read in another few pages in that same book that the Lord stopped it. It was starting to fall, and then it just stopped. Have you ever had a big rain start? Of course, we've had big rains here this past week. And then all of a sudden, it just stopped. You ever? that's what stopped. Well, here. Years and years ago, that's exactly what happened. It's kind of scary that the Lord sent the latter rain, and then he stopped it. And so now we're in overtime. And I think today there are small pockets of rain falling here and there. But we're still waiting for the major part of the latter rain to come over the horizon of time. And we know it'll come at the end. Are we in the last days? You think we are. So why aren't we seeing the latter rain? That's a good question. I'd like to point out one prophecy in the Bible telling you that I do believe in the last days and what is to transpire. I think we're in those last days. Now, if we go back to the book of Daniel, chapter 12, in your Bible, I want to read you a prophecy in verse 4. Chapter 12, verse 4 of Daniel. And it says, "But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. And many will go to and fro, and knowledge will be increased." Knowledge of the Bible will be increased. General knowledge will be increased. Certainly it is increasing. Let me just examine that a little bit. Knowledge will be increased. Did you know that every day, and I was telling Danny, I was telling you about this here yesterday, that there are 3,000 brand new books published. And if you were to keep up with that, or what is being published in those books, you'd have to read 3,000 books a day. That's a lot of information. Not likely possible, though. That's a lot of books. 3,000. 1 week of the New York Times newspaper, if you were to digest all the information in that, that is more information than would likely come to one person in a whole lifetime back in the 1800s. It's pretty spectacular. Sometime next year, in the year 2014, the amount of technical information will double every 72 hours. Wow. You can see where we're at. That's flabbergasting. And this year, there's supposed to be a supercomputer, and that will be built that exceeds the computational capacity of the human brain. Robots are coming. You can see it on the horizon. We need to be ready for them. And here's a bit of information that kind of threw me too, was China will be the number one English-speaking country in the world. Can you imagine that? India has more honor roll children than we have children in America. That's another good one. Things are changing very rapidly. The first text message, and I'm sure there's many adults here that do text messaging, and of course we know our kids do. The first text message was sent in December of 1992. Today, the number of messages sent and received every day exceeds the total population of the world. These are some interesting facts, things that probably not many of us have really thought about. Things are changing. This year, there will be 4 exabytes of unique information generated. Now, does anybody know how much an exabyte is? It's a number that's way beyond the trillions that we're currently indebted for, which is more than all the information generated, listen to this, in the past 5,000 years combined. You can see where we are in our society today, how fast we're moving. Things are changing. Knowledge is increasing. In not too many years, they don't know how many, but a $1,000 computer will exceed the computational capacity of the entire human race. That's pretty astounding, too. We're living in the last days. Knowledge is increasing. These are signs of the times, and so we would expect the latter rain to be falling. But it's not falling, in a general sense, right now. So one wonders, are we actually living? Are we living beyond the appointed time? Maybe. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11 says, it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. It's nearer. But when is the latter rain going to come? Jesus predicted that we would live in overtime. He said that the time lag will be evident in the last days. The bridesmaids will sleep. They will all run out of oil, as in Matthew 25, verse 5. Are the church lamps running out of oil? How is this church doing? The Seventh-day Adventist Church is a divinely appointed movement that seems almost to come to a stop, to almost stop moving. Our growth rate in the year 2000 was 2.4%. And the rate in the last year that records were kept that I'm aware of, in 2007, it might have been sooner, was 1.4%. And if this trend continues, then we could be watching the death of the North American Seventh-day Adventist Church. We've been on a decline. Well, you know, we were intended to be just a one or two generation movement anyway. And what we have found ourselves in is a multi-generation denomination. We used to be called a cult, and now they accept us as evangelical brothers and sisters. These are good things, or maybe they're bad things. In America, did you know that in America, more churches die each year than are born? Each year, there are around 3,500 to 4,000 churches that close their doors forever or become antique malls, and yet only 1,100 to 1,500 new churches are planted. In a 10-year period culminating in 1997, the combined membership of all Protestant denominations in America decreased by 10%, while at the same time the population of the United States increased by about 11%. So it's going like that. The number of unchurched adults in America has doubled since 1991, and it may even be greater than that. So what does that mean? That means that you and I are living in the midst of the largest mission field in the world today. Only three other nations have more lost people than America has. That's China, India, and Indonesia. We're in a huge mission field. We know that we have an evangelistic series that is coming up. We wonder when we go out into the streets why people aren't receptive to our calling when we go door to door. But that's part of the answer. No wonder Jesus said in Luke 18 and verse 8, he said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? It's disintegrating. And meanwhile, the prophetic clock of time is ticking along. Christianity is shrinking, but wickedness is surely increasing. We know that. Every time we listen to the evening news, we hear and see all the signs of times all around us. And there's a frightening acceleration of wickedness and ungodliness just here in Tullahoma. You can see the gang graffiti around. I know several times a week I have the opportunity of crossing over the railroad tracks to go to Builder Supply to pick up the materials for my trade. And on occasion I'll get stopped by the red lights and the bars coming down to tell me that there's a train coming. And I don't think that I have ever seen a train pass me by that didn't have some sort of graffiti on it. I don't think I've ever seen a clean train before. You know, it's just an indication of some of the things that are happening in the world today. You can see the evidence, and it's here. What's happening? We need the latter rain, don't we? Self-control is out of control. And the total debt in America now is approaching in the mega trillions. I don't even want to throw a number out there because it's pretty scary. That's approximately 81 times more than it was in 1957. Some of us that have been around for that long, they may or may not be able to sense that and to see what has transpired over the years. Each man, each woman, each child, and each baby owes somewhere around $200,000 apiece. Now, I don't know if your baby has that amount of money. I doubt if you do. I know I don't. So what this means is America is actually bankrupt. We're bankrupt. We had our party, and a fine party it was. However, the party is over. The bill is now past due, and the bottom line for me is it looks like an awful lot like the end of the world. Society is in a moral free fall. Let's break away from that for a second. Let's go to 2 Timothy in our Bibles. Each generation seems to be lower than the generation before, more and more sinking into wickedness. So let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money." Do we see that? "Boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, and without self-control." This is bad stuff. That's what we're seeing today. And this is a sign of the last days. And this is exactly what we're seeing here. What's going to happen to us? We've got to have some type of intervention from heaven to pull us out of this thing. We need an answer from above. We need a miracle. And we need God to step in and take charge. Do miracles still happen? Do they happen? You bet they do. I know they've happened in my life. And I'm sure each and every one of you have got a testimony of some kind of miracles happening in your life. You know, I could go on here for several minutes just on the miracles. One miracle, I won't tell the story, was when I quit smoking. That was a miracle in my life. I've had small miracles along the way just so the Lord keeps me awake. I've lost my keys in situations where I would have never dreamt of finding them again, and I found them. My son and I were working on a house here in Tullahoma, and we were blowing insulation into a gentleman's house. We were up there for about 2.5 hours, and I can't tell you how many square feet of insulation we put up there. Well, anyway, I come out from in there breathing hard, hot, sweaty, went to get in my truck, and my keys were gone. And I know that I had them on my side when I went up in the attic. I poked my head up into that hole, and I looked back there, and all I could see was a sea of white, insulation everywhere. Those keys could have been anywhere, and it would have taken me years to find, probably. But the Lord knew my situation, because just prior to me going up the stairs to look back in that hole, I said, "Lord, please help me find my keys." It was short and sweet and to the point. And this is a true story. I walked up the ladder, I looked in the hole, and I took a flashlight, and I peered down like this. And way in the back, on a piece of plywood, where I had to crawl between two rafters, was my keys hanging on the edge of this piece of plywood. What are the chances of that happening? That's divine intervention, if you ask me. And there's two circumstances where I have lost my hearing aids. Miraculously, again, they've showed up. I've got in my ears today. I was up in Mont Eagle. We were doing some underground cable work, and we were burying it. I was off in the weeds, and we were out there all day long. I got in my truck, and I went to reach for my hearing aid. It's gone. I spent 2 hours looking for that hearing aid, and I prayed to God. I said, "Lord, I said, these hearing aids are a gift from you. Please help me find it." And this, again, is just another example of a miracle happening. I just happened to reach and look and feel my pocket. My hearing aid fell out of my ear and fell in my pocket. It could have been out in the soil. It could have been out in the weeds. It could have been lost forever. But the Lord was looking out for me again. Well, enough stories from me. But you can see, miracles do happen. And I know that you can attest to it. Oh, the Lord is good, I'm telling you. Miracles, they happen. They happen today. And you need a miracle in your life to keep you going. Either in your marriage, in your family, in your jobs, or something. Miracles happen. Just hang in there. Keep praying. This world needs a miracle. We need the Holy Spirit to fall upon us here in this world. And I just think as a society, we're going downhill. And America, well, what's the problem there? I don't know. America is bone dry. We need water. You wouldn't think so. But we need rain. And my understanding is that that water is Jesus Christ, the water of life, and that's what we need. Jesus is the answer to our problems, so we need the Holy Spirit. Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 1 says, "Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of latter rain." So we need to do that. This is the time of the latter rain. You need rain in your life. You must ask for it. That's one thing that you have to do. You have to ask for it. Have you ever noticed that when it rains, that as the time goes by, that the water on hard surfaces, such as on asphalt and on concrete, that the water will collect in pools and then just run off, and before you know it, especially if it is raining hard, as it's done here in the past couple days, that can sometimes rush in great torrents. But then you look in the grassy area, for the most part, the water is soaking in. Even if you look in the woods, it seems to soak in pretty good. It's because it's a lot softer there. But then if you look back again, you don't see any grass growing on the pavement. It's because it's too hard. Now, I want the Holy Spirit in my life. And in order for me to have the Holy Spirit, when the latter rain falls, what must I do? If my heart is as hard as asphalt, then I need a new heart, right? I need a softer heart. I need to be kinder as I'm getting older. Maybe need to kick the cat a little bit less. Maybe yell at my family a little bit less. I need to be sweeter, more mellow, nicer. And the Holy Spirit can do that for me. I need the latter rain in my life. And I bet you need the latter rain in your life too. And what will soften our hearts? I was reading in Evangelism on page 142, the teachings and the love of Christ will soften and subdue the soil of the heart. And that's what I need. I need the teachings of Jesus, the love of Jesus. I need that in my life. Now, Acts chapter 3, verse 19 says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." I need to repent. I need to stop sinning in my life. I pray for the victory in my life. I want to be an overcomer. I want the character of Jesus to be reflected in my life. So I need to repent and be converted. I need that new heart. That new heart. When my wife and I lived in North Dakota, one of the things that we got to witness up there was the harvest time. And you would see these absolutely huge combines. And naturally, they were there to harvest the miles and miles of wheat and sunflowers that they grew there. And that was all you could see. You could turn in a 360-degree turn at a four-way stop, and that's all you would see for miles and miles, wheat or sunflowers. It's quite a spectacle. And the sunflowers, when they're in bloom in such a large number like that, it's a sea of yellow. It's quite amazing. But then you ask yourself, when does the farmer know when it's time to send for those combines? Does he look at the calendar and say, hey, such and such a date is here, it's time to harvest? Or does he say, well, it's time for us to look at the fruit? He's looking at the harvest to see how ripe it is. The crop. So, in comparison, when does Jesus come? Why is Jesus waiting? And what is Jesus looking for? Is Jesus looking for the fruit? And when the fruit comes, the harvest will come. That's a true statement, and I believe that. Mark chapter 4, verse 29 says, "When the fruit is brought forth, immediately he he puts in the sickle, because the harvest is come. We keep thinking, well, this sign has to happen. That sign has to happen. When does the sickle go in? When the fruit comes. The Lord is looking for fruit. And then I want to continue this quotation. It's found in Christ Object Lesson, page 69. And it says, Christ is waiting with long desire for the manifestation of himself in his church. And when the character of Christ shall be perfectly reproduced in his people, then he will come and claim them as his own. When does he come? When the first fruit is there. Is the first fruit what saves you? No. You're not saved by first fruit. Is John Fritz saved by fruit? No. I'm saved by Jesus. But what is the fruit? The fruit is the manifestation of what Jesus has done in my life. It's the evidence that I'm connected with Jesus. So I want fruit in my life. I want fruit. There was a little boy, and it was raining, and he was passing out gospel tracts. And the little boy only had one tract left. And because of the rain, everybody was off the streets. It was getting dark, and finally he knocked on a door. Rather than just wait for passerby to come, and he knocked louder and louder, and finally a voice from within answered. And an old woman came to the door, and he said, "Pardon me, lady, I just have one tract left. I want to give you this. This is to bring the gospel to you. And here, if you read this, you will find Jesus." And then he turned and went home. Almost a week later, and his father were in church. It was a small church, and they were having a testimony service in this little town. And an old lady with the light and joy of Jesus in her life stood up, and she said, "You know, the other night, it was pouring down rain last Sunday night, and I was discouraged. I'd lost my husband. My son died. I've had two deaths in my family, more than I can take. Just totally, just in despair. And I got a rope and tied the rope and was just about ready to hang myself when this knocking came to my door. And I was real quiet. I thought, well, maybe it'll all go away. But the knock kept coming, so I got down and went to the door, and there was this little boy with the light of Jesus in his face, and he gave me a tract, and that tract, I knew that God loved me, that he intended to manifest himself to me. And so I read this tract, and I've given my heart to the Lord, and I am saved because of that little boy." You know, that boy was rained on twice, wasn't he? We need the rain of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And as we prepare to go out into the community this next week and the weeks to come, we have to think to ourselves, even though each door that we knock on is not as responsive as we'd like them to be, the one and only person that may respond may be the life that you save, the life that Christ is able to save. I know we're getting close to the end of our time. It's 12 noon right now. And I'd like to say, let's bow our heads and let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, we know we're living in the last days. The signs are evident all around us. And the latter rain is about to fall. We pray that our hearts would be softened so that when that happens, we can absorb that Holy Spirit's power into our lives. Give us the answers to our problems, Lord. Give us power and strength and forgiveness and fruit in our characters. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.